Among the issues that we're following on the national level is the issue of tariffs. Recently, President Trump has proposed an increase in tariffs on goods, first of all, coming into the country from China. More recently, there has been a call for an increase in tariffs on goods and materials coming in from Mexico. It's something that a lot of people are talking about, but what is the actual impact going to be on businesses and ordinary consumers, for instance, here in the Triangle? For more on that, we are joined on the phone by Patrick Conway, who's a professor of economics at UNC, former chair of the department as well. Dr. Conway, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you for inviting me. I'm pleased to be here.
So let's begin by addressing the impact on ordinary consumers, people who live in the Triangle, go to their grocery store, shop for food, shop for clothes, going about their daily business. What actually, if anything, is the impact going to be? What are we going to see in terms of our pocketbooks, in terms of the effect of the tariffs that are being discussed on the national level right now?
Well, I think we're going to see a fairly large impact as consumers. And in fact, we're already beginning to see it. The tariffs that the president has imposed began back in 2017 with one set of tariffs, in 2018 another set of tariffs, and now we're talking about raising them both on China and on Mexico. We did, in the meantime, reduce tariffs on steel and aluminum, but we are on the whole moving as a country towards having larger tariff barriers against many of our major trading partners, and that's somewhat worrisome for consumers. Let me give you an example. Mm-hmm. If anybody's going out to buy a children's bicycle, they'll find that the price of that bicycle has now gone up. It might have been $200 before, and now it's $250. It might have been a $100 bike if you're getting the low end, and it's $125. The notion that the exporter pays the tariff is not true. The tariff is paid by the person who buys the product, because when someone like Walmart or Performance Bicycle or any of the people who would be selling these bicycles, when they get them, they buy them from Chinese, typically producers, and those producers are selling them already at a very low profit margin. So when the tariff goes on, the only way for the Walmart or Performance Bicycle or someone like that to get the return on this is to raise the price on which they sell it. And so there have been examples of these children's bicycles going up in price rather rapidly.
Mm-hmm. I mentioned bicycles. Are there other specific products where people
sure.
are seeing a significant increase?
Sure. If you had solar panels installed on your house mm-hmm. recently, the prices have gone up by about 30% because the underlying panel is now coming in at a much higher cost. The installers are not able to cut what they charge you that much, and so they have to pass on that 30%. And so the installation of solar panels installed has become a more expensive proposition. You'll also see it with washing machines. Washing machines are often made overseas in China, and the prices of washing machines, and this was documented over the last year or so, they're up by 12% since the tariffs went into place. And they're also up by 12% on dryers, even though dryers were not subject to tariffs. The local producer or the local retailer is having to recoup the cost of the tariffs, and they're passing it on to us. And so as consumers, we are going to be facing higher and higher prices. Other places will see it. For those of you in the audience who drink beer, the beers coming in from Mexico are going to be more expensive mm-hmm. because they will be subject to these tariffs. Autos are going to be more expensive because, one, the steel and aluminum that went into them was purchased under tariffs. And two, many of the products that go into a typical car, even a U.S. car, if you were looked for a Ford, and I'm not picking on Ford, GM and Chrysler have the same features. Many of the pieces for a Ford in the U.S. come from Mexico, and those will now be subject to tariff. The NAFTA, or the Free Trade Agreement, had done away with that, but now we are reimposing those things.
Speaking with Patrick Conway, Economy Department at UNC, we're talking about tariffs, and we're talking about the impact on consumers, but what is the impact, if anything, on local businesses? You mentioned the extent to which businesses are having to change their prices, adjust their prices. Are they, or are they likely to see significant hits on the bottom line as well?
I think the local, we can divide up our local producers and retailers into two groups.
Mm-hmm.
One would be a group that is directly in competition with Chinese firms or Mexican firms. And for those individual businesses, these tariffs provide protection. They allow them to raise prices. And by raising prices, they can earn larger profits and hopefully pay more to workers as well. And I think that is that's the logic behind the president's use of tariffs in this situation. Unfortunately, most of our producers are not in that position.
Mm-hmm.
They are either producing things that use imports as inputs into their own product, and the solar panel installers are good examples of those. Those firms that install solar panels don't benefit from the tariffs, even though the tariffs on solar panels, because they're not making the solar panels themselves. They're buying the solar panels from overseas, and then they are installing them. But because they have to raise their prices, they will probably be able to sell fewer installations, and they won't benefit. They won't be profiting from it. There's a third group that we also have to worry about, and those are the individual producers who are hit by retaliatory tariffs.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when the U.S. puts tariffs on goods coming from China, China doesn't just sit there and take it. China puts its own tariffs on producers and products coming from the U.S. And we've seen that in tobacco, and we've seen that in pork, two large North Carolina producers on the agricultural side. The biggest impact has been on soybeans, which isn't as big a local product.
Yeah.
But our agricultural producers are looking at this tariff war and saying, what about the retaliation? Because that retaliation lowers the amount that they are able to sell into the Chinese market, which is one of the largest in the world right now.
What should people know about the history of tariffs? And these were things that have been used and employed by governments going back centuries now, but in more of a free trade period now that we're starting to move away from with this, the trade war that's being discussed now. That's 5 seconds of a summary, and I probably got most of that wrong. What should people know about the history?
Oh, you never ask an academic to talk about the history of anything, unless you're ready for an hour-long disposition. The history of tariffs we can run through it pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
If you've seen the show Hamilton, there mm-hmm. is a very oblique reference to tariffs, because Alexander Hamilton was the first Secretary of the Treasury to raise tariffs.
Mm-hmm.
And he did it because the U.S. at the time didn't have any other sources of income. We had no income tax. We didn't have other types of taxes. And so our trade taxes, our tariffs, were the main source of revenue for that fledgling U.S. government. And so for a while, we had very high tariffs. But then over time, and especially beginning in about the 1880s, 1890s, we started to lower our tariffs. Then when the Great Depression came about, we, as the U.S., came up with a schedule of tariffs on goods coming into the country
mm-hmm.
that was very high, an average of 30-40% on every good coming in. That was in an attempt to transfer production to our local producers, but it didn't work very well. The,
mm-hmm.
the Depression went on anyway, because other countries were doing the same. We created not a tariff war, but we put up very high tariff barriers. After the Second World War, the United States and the other countries on the Allied side created what was known as the General Agreement on Tariffs and Trade, which was designed to, over time, negotiate away tariffs, because it was recognized that these tariffs got in the way of international cooperation and international trade. And so from 1945 all the way up to about 1998, the countries of the world got together, for the most part, and agreed on lower and lower tariffs. So that by the end, in the 1990s, the U.S. and Europe and Australia, Canada, Mexico, were trading at very low tariffs. Tariffs had been almost eliminated. And other barriers to trade were being eliminated as well. We haven't seen anything quite like what President Trump has brought about, though, before this time. And he is pushing us back towards a more unilateral approach to international trade, moving away from the cooperation and the collaboration that came out of the multilateral negotiations.
Speaking with Dr. Patrick Conway again, UNC economics professor. So we've got to wrap up this conversation. Other things that people want to know that affect them, individual consumers or businesses here in the Triangle. You mentioned agricultural producers as well as farmers. What else should people know about the trade wars that are going on now?
Well, I think it's important to recognize, and I give President Trump credit for recognizing that there were underlying asymmetries in our trade with China, for example, and that trade in China with China, the Chinese had not dropped their tariffs as far as we had dropped ours on their goods. And so his attempt to negotiate lower tariffs on the Chinese side was a good idea. He simply decided to do it by first hitting them with tariffs and saying, I'll remove the tariffs once you lower your tariffs. That negotiation didn't work very well. And the Chinese, rather than agreeing that they were going to lower their tariffs right away, they began retaliating. So we got into this trade war. I don't think it was necessarily what the president wanted. He was attempting to convince the Chinese that they should change their approach by using this, and it's just escalated, I think, a bit more than he was anticipating it would. It could still turn out to be a policy initiative that turns out well for the U.S., but there have been fairly high costs already in the way that we have put it in place. The attempt to put tariffs on the Europeans, on China, on Mexico, on Canada, those don't seem to play the same role that the tariffs that were imposed on China were playing. And quite frankly, I don't know what the end game will be and what he is hoping to achieve through using these tariffs. The most recent case with Mexico, he says, is not tied to international trade concerns at all. It's tied to immigration. And so this is a new dimension for the president's use of tariffs. He's now using it not to redress unfair trade, but he's using it as a sort of stick to get compliance from the Mexicans on a policy problem that has nothing to do with the international trade side. So I think we have to look forward to what the president is able to achieve in the future. There have been short-term losses. We will have to hope that there will be long-term gains from this.
And we'll leave it there, but keep following it. Dr. Patrick Conway, thank you so much for being with us today.
My pleasure. Good luck to everyone.